Well, good morning, church. It's been said already that we're doing things a little backwards today with Pastor Nick coming up to do the welcome, and now I'm here preaching the message. It feels a little off, but this is a wonderful time where things are just off for our church. We look forward to in a few weeks being able to join together in the worship center, newly remodeled, and that will be a wonderful time. Today I wanted to bring a message about maturing in the faith, because that's really the call for all of us as we have trusted in Jesus, is to begin to take those next steps and continue to take those steps. We need to be maturing in our faith. There's a cemetery right outside the building here, and if you go and look at the headstones, what you're going to see is a birth date for that person. Then you'll see a death date for that person, but it's often been said that what really matters is what happens in the dash in between, that's really where the person lived. The dates are interesting and important for sure, but really what mattered about that person is what happened in the meantime. And the same can be true theologically. The same can be said theologically as well, that we are saved on a certain date. We know that is the case. When we trust in Jesus for the salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, for the wiping and atoning work, when we repent and trust in Jesus as our Savior, that's called justification in theological terms, when our salvation becomes real to us and we stand justified before the Father. And then we know that someday in heaven we're going to receive a glorified body. That's the theological term for that, is glorification. And so we know that we've got these beginning dates, the date we're saved, and the end date, the date that we're glorified, though we don't always know what those dates are. The point is, what happens in between? What's the dash, for theologically speaking? And what that term is called is sanctification. So we have our salvation, we have our glorification when we trust in Jesus and when we're made whole in Jesus, but what about the in between? Do we just sit in a pew occasionally when we wake up early enough on Sunday? Do we maybe say a prayer before a meal if we so feel the urge? What happens in the meantime between when we're saved and when we go to heaven? Sanctification, then, is the process of growing in godliness, living out the character of God as revealed in His Word. And so what I want to show us today is that we need to be progressing in our faith, and because we need to be maturing or progressing in our faith, then we see in the Word that there are specific requirements for that to happen. It doesn't just happen willy-nilly. It doesn't just happen out of the blue that you're saved, then Jesus makes you everything you need to be, and then glorification is just receiving a new body, for instance. But rather, that sanctification period is the struggle of holiness. It's the hard time where we try to pursue God and become more like Him. Excuse me. And so as we are considering this idea of maturity, and the measure of maturity is what I called this, because what we're going to see soon as we read through the Scripture is what does maturity look like? Because we can all think back to saints in our lives that we have loved and have really poured out their faith into us and have helped us grow in our own faith. But are we shooting for the character of that person? Or are we trying to be more like Billy Graham or any of these paragons of faith that we can think of? Or is there a higher standard to which we need to pursue? And so as we consider the measure of maturity, I want to look at these verses from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The Apostle Paul writes, "And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part." And so my purpose this morning in the sermon is that you will see and pursue spiritual maturity as necessary in your faith. We cannot settle for less. We cannot be plateaued in our faith if we truly want to be someone who is pleasing to Jesus. If we truly want to be used of God for his purposes, we can't settle for less. We have to be trying to pursue the growth that is necessary. Maturity then is necessary. So I want to ask some questions of the congregation this morning. Who today would say they are stronger and more mature in your faith today than you were when you were first saved? Hands? Good. I'm glad to see this. Okay, here's a different question. Who wants to be stronger and more mature in your faith than you are even today? I'm hoping most hands, if not all hands, are up right now. And so if this is the case, that we want to be stronger in our faith and we want to grow in our faith and we want to be mature, measured by the stature of Christ, then what we are going to read today and discuss today is of vital importance in our lives. I have some scriptures that I want to bring that help kind of show the process and the necessity of growing in our faith before we really get into the meat of the sermon. Consider again verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know if this is my clicker. There it is. Then you will no longer be children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. So we see then that Paul is exhorting us no longer to be little children in the faith, but growing in the faith so that when Satan tempts and false teaching comes, we won't be tossed to and fro. We know the truth because we have matured beyond being children in the faith. Also, I want to consider Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The writer says we have a great deal to say about this. That's the previous section talking about deep theological truth. He says we have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain, since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of God's revelation. You need milk, not solid food. You see, what the writer here of Hebrews is saying is that some of us who have been believers for a while haven't progressed to where we should be. And I think that's the case for a lot of us as well, that I know that I need to be doing X or contributing in some way or serving the church in this way, but I haven't done it yet. What the writer of Hebrews here is saying is that we need to be progressing. He is saying it in a very pointed way, that we should be progressing and maturing in our faith. He continues on, "Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil." And then one more section of scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you are not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are still fleshly." Now, what we see from the Hebrews 5 verse and this set of verses from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians is that the differentiation here between being a baby in the flesh, or sorry, being a baby in faith and being mature in the faith is not necessarily what you know. It's not the biblical wisdom that has been poured into you, but rather, are you living it? He's saying, you've been taught the basic principles. You know the things of the Word, but you're not living the things of the Word. You haven't yet progressed to put those things into action. And the reason I think these verses are so pointed is because that section of our lives called sanctification, living in that dash between salvation and the end time glorification, is so difficult for us to live. We have a world that tempts us. We have the sin nature within us that pulls us to sin and away from Christ. And so it is a hard thing to live out the principles of Christ. It's a hard thing to live holy. And so these pointed verses are saying we need to do that. We need to be maturing and progressing in our faith. And I think we've all testified already by raising our hands that that is something we want in our lives. And so as we continue on through the sermon, we're going to see four requirements for spiritual maturity, for growing in spiritual maturity. Before we dig into the first requirement, though, let's pray. Our Lord, I thank you for your word, which oftentimes steps on our toes, which is very pointed sometimes and showing us who we are and how we've fallen and not been who you desire us to be. And so, God, I pray this morning that you will do a mighty work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit to draw us ever closer to you, to help us to see the truth that lies within your word, and in so doing, to actually put it into action and thus find our faith maturing. Lord, we all want to be the people you desire us to be. Help us to see the way to do that, to plan out accordingly, and to pursue that with all of our heart and not take it as something flippant or something to be taken for granted, because you are worth our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the first requirement of a growing faith is that maturity requires a standard. Consider verse 13. We read, "Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of God's Son, growing in mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." Who has Christ's fullness today? Okay, so what we see then is that we haven't progressed where we can be or are called to be, but that we should be getting that way. We should be trying to pursue that, because the standard is not who the church thinks you should be or who mom and dad think you should be or whatever the world might want you to be. The standard, as we see here, is the fullness of Christ's stature. Now, of course, we're not all going to reach it in this time, in this life. The blessed thing is that we are considered as if we have. That is what gives us the innocent plea, or what is it, declaration before the throne of God. As he sits as judge, he sees the fullness of Christ already in us by virtue of our trusting in him as Savior. But we know that we haven't reached that measure yet. And so maturity requires that we be pursuing the correct standard, which is the stature of Christ revealed in the Word. Now, this is an impossible goal, to be sure. None of us are going to be perfect as Jesus was. We're not going to be able to fight temptation and sin as Jesus did, but we must be pursuing it. You know, I was working construction a few years ago when I was a bivocational pastor, and one project that my coworker and I were working on was digging a trench for a water line to a house. Now, there was a specific spot on the house we needed to dig the trench to in order to get the water line there, but the only tool we had was a root shovel, one of those picks that you have. And so, anyway, the person who's swinging the pick to try to dig the trench has his back to the house. Sorry. So in order to make sure that we're actually digging straight and to the point that we are trying to get to, one person would be digging with his back to the house and the other would be standing on the other side saying, "You're veering right, you're veering left, you need to go one way or the other. You have to get to that one point." And the same is true for us today, that if we are going to be pursuing Jesus, we have got to be trying to get there the right way. We can't just assume that because we've trusted in Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in us, then I can just do whatever I want and I'll end up at the right spot. If we had thought that way with construction, we probably would have ended up at a different spot in the house that isn't helpful at all. Or we'd have to drill a new hole for water. Anyway, that would have been a mess. But we have to be pursuing the right standard, who is Christ. You know, we just had a wonderful vacation. We set off, and I didn't pick a direction to go. I didn't just randomly hit exits and think that I'm going to get to our destination. But rather, because I knew where I was supposed to end, I picked the path that Google Maps gave me. Google Maps, I guess. And so if we are pursuing Christ, we've got to be going on the correct path, which would be the Word of God as the Holy Spirit leads us. We cannot treat our spiritual development in the same ways of winging it, of going adrift, of guessing at what we must do. We must pursue the correct target. We must pursue the goal of becoming like Christ. We've seen in verse 13 that the type of Christian we are to become is like Jesus himself. Though we'll never come close to him, we must be pursuing Christ-likeness in our life. So maturity requires the right standard, that standard being Christ. Second, maturity requires community. We see this in verses 11 and 12. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints and the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. And so what we have here is a wonderful set of scriptures that tell us what Nick and I and the lay pastors and the deacons and all the leaders of the church were trying to pursue: a church where the work of the ministry is not done by paid professionals, but the work of the ministry is done by all of us filled with the Holy Spirit who can take part in service in the church. Oh, thank you, Robbie. You came at the right time. See, community, this works. So maturity doesn't happen alone. Maturity is expressed corporately. The church gathering has always been so much more than just a religious function. That we don't just come here to sit in pews, sing some songs, and think we've fulfilled a religious quota. But rather, what the church here is what we emphasize, that the church is really our family. That we are to be tied together in love through Christ and in his church. That we are helping each other to be accountable and growing in our faith. That's what our discipleship accountability groups are all about. That we are trying to hold one another accountable. We're trying to hold each other to the process of progressing in our faith. That's really one of the great steps you can take as a believer. If you raise your hand and want to grow in your faith, it's going to take commitment. It's going to take community. And one way we do that is through the discipleship accountability groups. Another way we're going to express growing in our faith in community is by taking the Lord's Supper today. That is an act that is designed by the Lord to show us that we are in unity as a family together. And if any of us are out of step, we are to recognize that and not take it in order to pursue reconciliation. That is a mature act to do. It's a lot easier to just say, oh, it's no big deal. I'm just going to eat this little cracker and drink this little cup of grape juice. But really what the Lord's Supper is signifying is that we are united together pursuing Jesus. And it's another way to be held accountable to do so. And so our gatherings aren't just about being a social gathering. It's not just about a religious checklist or quota. It's not about trying to earn some warm, fuzzy feelings by hearing some good things. Rather, what we're doing is we're coming here to worship the Lord, and we're coming here to be held accountable to grow in our faith. You see, when we gather together, we should always have in mind that one of the purposes we do is to grow in our faith, to be equipped to take on the ministry of Jesus more and more ourselves. If you've been a churchgoer for years, look back and see if you have grown and taken on some form of the ministry to be done. Or are you content to merely fill a seat, hear some words, sing a song or two, and then rush off to beat the Methodists and Catholics to the buffet? You see, what we're doing here is of vital spiritual importance. These verses this morning should show you that one of the main purposes we gather is to grow and mature in our faith. And so we must be pursuing spiritual maturity together to more fully reflect the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ, more than any of us could do individually. And so we've seen maturity requires a standard, maturity requires a community. Third, maturity requires intentionality. This is in verse 15. We read, "But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ." You see, if we are to speak the truth in love, it means that we must be intentional about doing the things we have to do. if the scripture here is saying speak the truth in love, it almost takes on a negative connotation. Because if everything's going well, speaking the truth in love is really easy. But if we're being exhorted to do this thing, essentially what the Apostle Paul here is saying is that when things are going hard and things aren't going right and you're not getting along, you have to speak the truth in love. You see, that is an intentional act. Because when things are rough, when things aren't working out the way you think they should be, it takes a lot of strength, it takes a lot of boldness, it takes a lot of character to speak the truth in love. And so you have to be maturing if you're going to do this thing. It has to be an intentional act that you are pursuing. It doesn't just happen. The only thing that just happens is the good times. When things are going well and we're a united group and everybody's loving and it's so great, it really takes not a lot of effort. But when things are hard, you have to step in intentionally to grow. As Christians, we develop by intentionally pursuing the correct goal. We've already talked about Jesus being the measure, the standard of our faith, and so we must be pursuing him with intentionality. You know, it's interesting if you think about the example of our physical lives. When we were born, we were little babies. We had to be cared for. We had to be nurtured. We had to be put in a good environment to grow well. But that maturity just happened. We didn't have to try to mature. We just grew. We became who we are today. We are becoming who we will be. Physical maturity happens over time with hardly any effort. Emotional and spiritual maturity only develops with intentionality. I think we can all look back in our lives and know grown people who haven't matured spiritually or emotionally, for that matter. The reason is because that's the harder work to do. It takes intentionality to grow our characters. And so as we look then at maturing in our faith, it takes intentionality. This gets back to then the heart of our devotional lives as individual believers. You see, it's so easy to wake up and know, I've trusted in Jesus, I'm a Christian, and then go about your day. But it takes a hard effort to daily get up and read from the scripture and take in God's word and read a devotional and have an intentional time of prayer where you are one-on-one with the Lord. That is the harder thing. And so if we will be intentional about doing those things and we will pursue our growth in the faith through those means, that's when the Lord really will take hold of you and cause growth to come. Now, oftentimes when you intentionally are pursuing those things, Satan doesn't like it, and so he is going to try to slow it down and stop it. There is nothing more scary to our enemy than a Christian who is pursuing the Lord. There's nothing more effective for the Lord than a Christian who is pursuing him. And so, Christian, this morning, let us pursue the Lord in a devotional life that is intentionally trying to seek after him as a standard. The last requirement for maturity is integrity. We see this in verse 16. We read, "From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part." Now see, this requires integrity because what the Apostle Paul here is telling us is that each part must be working properly, as it should. And so when we're thinking about the church as a body with made up of many members, this is the 1 Corinthians type of idea that we are all members together of the church. That the church is made up of all of its members functioning and working as God has gifted us to do. And so when we are functioning within the spiritual gift that we have been equipped with, the church is being built up and we are becoming all that we can be and should be. And we'll really begin to see the Lord work through that. That's integrity. But what is a lack of integrity is knowing God has gifted me for an active service, for a ministry, that he has called me to do these things as a member of the church, as someone who has trusted in him as Savior. But I'm just too busy. I got to work. I got things I need to do. Too tired. You see, that's squandering God's gift. And that's not an act of integrity. But when the proper working of each individual part is going, then we begin to see maturity skyrocket. The proper working of each individual part means when all the individuals are doing what they should, the church is being built up into all it can be. Integrity is another part of the hard work of sanctification. Because you can look right on the outside, but on the inside be something completely different. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for that, saying they were whitewashed tombs. They looked good on the outside, but inside there was nothing but dead men's bones. You know, we had an example of this recently. We are building a house out near Williamsburg, and we were so excited about the side of our house because there's this huge, beautiful oak tree that we are going to put on the side of our house, and we built our house right near that tree so that we could enjoy it. It's probably over 100 years old. The base was so thick and the tree was so tall. It was beautiful. But then Monday before we went to Branson, we drove up there just to see how the house was progressing. And because the storms went through, our tree had fallen. This beautiful tree that we planned our site around is now gone. It looked great, looked beautiful. But when you go up to inspect the fallen ruins, what you see inside is that it's rotten. It's black. You see, integrity is being true through and through. That tree was something that we looked forward to for years, to enjoy, to have our kids play under, to enjoy its shade. But because it wasn't all that it looked like it was, the truth was revealed. You see, we must be people of integrity who were here on a Sunday morning, were appearing to be Christians who have given their hearts to Jesus and are trying to pursue him and spiritual maturity. But inside, what's going on? I can't tell, because I can't read your hearts. But you know what's there. Are you where you should be? And so this morning, as we're closing and wrapping up, I want you to think about this response. Will you commit to maturing in your faith? You see, the good thing is that though maybe you're like that tree, You're presenting yourself as one thing, but inside you know there's some other reality. Here's the great thing. Repentance and faith can happen even now. The great thing is that unlike that tree, the truth can still take root in your heart. And you can become who Jesus wants you to be through repenting of sin, through trusting in him as Savior. Maybe this morning you realize that you haven't trusted in Jesus, that you thought you were one thing and turns out maybe you were another, or you just never have taken the opportunity to submit yourself before Jesus, to commit to following him with the rest of your life. You see, this process that we've been talking about is something that will take you from where you are as dead in sin and separated from God. If you will trust in Jesus and begin this maturity process, guys, I can't tell you the difference that Jesus will make in your life. When I look back at when I was 19 and I didn't know the Lord and I was adrift and lost without ambition, without goal, without any sort of idea of what I could be, just broken and going with the tossed to and fro by the waves, as the verse says, When I trusted in Jesus, when he revealed the truth to me of his gospel, that he came as God on earth, incarnated for us, becoming man for us, lived a perfect life among us, and yet died the death that you and I deserve, a sinner's death, to pay the penalty of my sin, so that if I would look on him and cast my sins upon him, they would be forgiven and I would be saved. Folks, that gave me great hope for eternity, that when I trusted in Jesus, I knew that I would be in heaven with him. Not by any merit of my own. I was lost. I was nothing. But because of what Jesus did in his righteousness, in his perfect life, he gave me that standing, that assurance of knowing that I will be with him in heaven. I pray this morning that if you don't know him, that you will trust in him as Savior as well. That if he is knocking on your heart and calling out to you saying, be saved, trust in me, that you will let down those walls and say, I trust in you as my Savior. A lot of us, though, have already trusted in Jesus. We've had that spiritual birthday, that justification. And we look forward to the glorification when we will be made whole and perfect and new, and these bodies of corruption will be made perfect. But in the meantime, what are we doing? Will you commit to growing in your faith? Will you commit to serving Jesus in his church? Let's pray. Our Lord, I thank you for your word today, which steps all over my toes, and probably many other here this morning as well. But Lord, by seeing the truth of your word, we need to be measured by it and found to be following you, so that we might glorify you, that we might live an abundant life that you have given us today, that we might look forward to the eternity that we spend with you in the future. Lord, help us to give our all today, to trust in you, to grow in you, and to serve you, that we might bring you all honor and glory. Lord, would you continue to work in the hearts of all who are hearing? Would you continue to lead and guide us to your throne, that we might trust in you as Savior, become believers, and follow you with our lives? Lord, we leave that up to you, knowing that's a work that only you can do. Would you restore our hearts, give us new ones, and help us to follow you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.